Lord, we thank you today that your thoughts are towards us, Lord, towards your creation, Lord, that you look at us with love, Lord Jesus. You look at us with compassion, Lord. And Lord, you've been looking that way since you were on a cross so many years ago, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love towards us. Thank you, Jesus, this morning. Lord, today we pray that we might have an ear to hear the Spirit today. Lord, that your word might transform us. Lord, may we not be the same, but may we grow from faith to faith and glory to glory, Lord. May your word enter our hearts and take good soil, Lord. Good soil, Lord. Lord, may we not receive the word on thorny ground or rocky ground, but may it take root and grow that we might flourish into who you've called us to be, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. We welcome your presence today. We welcome however it is that you want to speak to us today. And Father, we thank you this morning. To you be the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. It's a joy to see all of your faces today and be together again. Always a joyful opportunity to worship together. Over the past couple weeks, we've been looking throughout these different stories in the Gospels and the New Testament scriptures about these encounters with Jesus. And we talked the first week about encountering Jesus's dominion, and how that man in Mark chapter 5, a demon-possessed man full of many evil spirits, the Bible said, but yet he was encountering the dominion, the authority, the reign of Jesus. And last week we talked about encounters with Jesus in worship, and the woman with the alabaster box who came and gave her all to Jesus. And today we're going to look at a different encounter, but an encounter nonetheless that would not so much produce a miracle as the other two that we've seen. It's an encounter that would challenge thinking, and an encounter that would cause them to look at Jesus differently in a way that they ought to be looking at him, and maybe that they were not looking at him, and ways that they were looking at themselves, but it needed to be changed. And so this is an encounter with Jesus, not so much of a miracle per se, but a transformation of the heart. And those things sometimes happen unseen by the eye, right? We all agree there's transformations that happen in our lives that you can't always see it, but you know it's happening, and it's a good thing. And this was an encounter that needed to happen. It's because it was countercultural. It was going against, often as Jesus's ministry did, it was going against everything that culture was saying, and it was giving a different teaching, a different objective. And it amazes me how much of Scripture, while this Bible has been around for a long time, I was looking yesterday at a man who he buys rare books all over the world, and he had a 400-year-old Bible, and still how old that Bible was and how well preserved it was and how long this scripture has been around, and yet we still have to keep coming back and learning lesson after lesson. It's coming back over and over again, being taught each generation. And so it's necessary even so now, that as much as this was countercultural in Jesus's day, it is if not more, countercultural in today's age. We're going to look at this exchange that happens with James and John when they go before Jesus in Mark chapter 10 and verse 35. James and John were known as the sons of Zebedee, and some of the other accounts in the gospel says that James and John's mother accompanied with them with this request. But in this Mark's account, we see that it's James and John presented. And so the Bible says, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." I think that is a telltale sign about where this is going to go. Because, of course, Jesus says, "Ask and you shall receive." We know that to be true. But this sounds a little more like genie, what James and John want to ask. It's we got something we want you to do, Jesus. We've been around long enough to see what you're capable of. Here's what we have next to ask of you. And so it seems a little bit like this is about to be a slippery slope. And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And I love how Jesus, he doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't even offer them a rebuttal. He just, "Okay, what do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Appoint us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking." And we might add to this that the other gospels say that when James and John's mother is accompanied, they ask for a throne. "We want to sit one at your right at the one throne and the other at the other throne, sitting beside you." And Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized?" And so when Jesus says, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink?" He's not talking about a physical cup. This was an understanding and perhaps a phrase in this language at the time that understood, "Are you able to take on what I'm taking on?" So he goes on to ask him, say to them, they replied, "We are able." I like how they just go for it. "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, yes, you will drink it, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to appoint, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." So when the ten heard this, this is where it gets messy. When the ten heard this, the other ten disciples, they got angry with James and John. "Well, you're going to go ask for a throne for you guys, and you're not going to ask for us? You're going to have a seat, but where are we going to sit?" And it's this, there's this tension that happens in the room, right? Things are not good. And when you're living with 10 other guys every day of your life, it's probably good that you don't want to get on their angry side. So there was a lesson to be learned here. So Jesus called them all, and he said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them." Now, this is true, right? We see this in Scripture. We see this with Herod and Pilate and other leaders, that when they were in control, when they had a throne, when they had authority, it was lorded. In other words, it was demanded. It was perhaps in our better understanding would be dictator-like. "And their great ones are tyrants over them." And there's that word, tyrants. And then Jesus offers them this countercultural phrase, "But it is not so among you." But it is not so among you. James and John came looking for a throne, and Jesus says, "But it is not so among you. Instead, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Let me just read that couple verses there one more time. "Whoever wishes to become great," whoever, "among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is an encounter with Jesus that is, once again, there's no miracle happening here, but there's a transformation that Jesus is trying to start in their heart, and it's called humility. And what they encounter here is they are encountering Jesus's humility. And this encounter that they have is one that is not like others that they've had. They've seen what Jesus has to give. They've seen him in power and in might and bring dead, open blind eyes, heal the sick. They've seen that. But this is new. This is different. This is Jesus whom they have yet to see, who he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about encounters with Jesus, his humility. James and John came looking for a throne. And this is a thought that we don't know. I mean, I think a few things that are admirable about James and John's request is they knew that Jesus had a kingdom, that he was going to go there. And so they make a request, but they're looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for a throne that is not Jesus's, is his words, to appoint. And they're looking for something perhaps that is in the motive is not where it's supposed to be. And so what happens here is they encounter Jesus's humility. And when they encounter Jesus's humility, it challenges all that they understand about what it means to be great. It challenges all that what they understand, what it means to be a leader, what it means to be among them. And so Jesus uses a word here. We'll come back and talk about this, but just to give us some context, he says, whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. And while in our understanding of the word slave, it has horrendous understanding and cultural context for us today, that is not the same for in this context. And really, this word slave is also could be translated servant, which is the Greek word diakonos, where we get our word deacon. And basically, it means this: you are commissioned to serve. You've been appointed to serve. It's more in the understanding and the likening of as if, perhaps put it in our thinking today, as if the a person in position of power, a president, a senator, a governor, a mayor, whoever it might be, came to one of us and said, I would like you to serve on my behalf in this office to do this, on behalf of your country or whatever it may be. It's as in the sense of you've been commissioned for a greater purpose. You've been commissioned to serve for a higher reason. And that's what really Jesus is saying here is this word diakonos. You be like a deacon. You've been commissioned to serve. It's encountering this sense of humility and service. It's understanding what is Jesus looking for. He's looking for something different. Because understanding in this culture, thrones were a problem. Thrones had big problems. And up to this point, thrones were disastrous. Right? Just read the history of Israel. It was fall after fall, wickedness after wickedness, evil after evil, not just in Israel, but across the land. Thrones had negative connotations with them. It always was positioned to demand something instead of giving something. And especially up until this point and seeing how the Roman Empire was coming in with such a strong force, it was such a terrible thought of what a throne might be. And so James and John, they desired a throne. And so I just want to talk to you a few minutes about encountering Jesus's humility and what that means for us and what God wants for us when we are in his presence and expending time with him. And we are with the one who says, I came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. What does that mean for our spiritual condition? And the first thing I just want us to look through is this thought of what does it mean in James and John's mind of desiring a throne? They said, give us a throne. But Jesus said, be a servant of all. They said, let us sit at your right hand, at your left hand. But Jesus said, go, love people. Be great. If you want to be great, you must be a servant. This is the thinking that Jesus is counteracting, is earthly thrones were always known for demanding service, but the heavenly throne was always known for giving service. And that was what happened, right? God Almighty, sitting on the throne, gave us his son, who came not to be served, but to serve. It was the sense of letting go and helping someone else, the sense of loving people. So I give my most precious to you so that I could bless you. That's the thinking in God's mind, is he lets go to be a blessing. It's this sense of, I'm not demanding, give it to me. I want to let go and give to you. And in the kingdom of God, it's this understanding that we are not called to desire thrones. We are called to be servants of all. And you think, well, in my mind, it sounds so much better to sit on a throne. It sounds so much easy to have people serve me, to have people be at my beckoning call and give me all that I want. And that's how thrones have been abused. It was taking advantage of another and give to me. And you see, at the core of all of that is a fleshly desire to satisfy self. And what Jesus does is he comes to conquer self, to overthrow self, to crucify self, so that the spirit may live. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so while James and John were desiring a throne, Jesus was desiring servants. Servants. And there was desiring people who were willing to do as he did, get off of their throne and love people. And there's a thinking in our culture today, oftentimes in every aspect of our culture, church culture, in earthly culture, secular culture, I should say, all types of culture, is that my throne is so that people will serve me. I want a throne where I can be satisfied instead of, let me leave my throne and see how I can bless others. And Jesus disrupted that thinking. And I want to go to this next point and show you this, is that he commissioned them to serve. We talked about that word, diakonos, which means servant. They were commissioned to be servants. And we're going to go and look at the perfect picture of service and humility to get a greater understanding of this in John chapter 13. Whenever I think about kings, whenever I think about rulers, whenever I think about presidents and prime ministers, this is not what I think about, what we're about to read. But this is what we ought to think about. This is what Jesus desires. And so Jesus gave us a picture here in John chapter 13 that was not to be expected by the disciples or any others for that matter. The Bible says that now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. And I want you to notice this verse here. This is an important verse. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And so the Bible goes on to say, the devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, did you see that? Knowing that all things had been given into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up. John makes an emphasis rather here, that Jesus, knowing that he came from God, that all authority was in his hands, that the Father had given all into his hands, and that he was about to go back to God. This is one sentence. There is not a period here. It is with Jesus knowing all of this, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. And this was challenged by Peter. Peter said, you can't wash my feet. You got to wash everything. And Peter was confused about what was happening here. And so Jesus goes on to say in verse 12, he gives them, why did he do this? He says, after he had washed their feet, he put on a robe and he reclined again. And he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. And you're right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. He says to them in verse 15, this is a verse that we like to overlook. we like to forget about. But it's the verse in the Bible. It is for us today. He says, "For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. And very truly, I tell you, slaves are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen." We see this image of Jesus we've never seen before. We've never seen Pilate wash anybody's feet. We've never seen Herod wash anybody's feet. As a matter of fact, I don't think we saw any of the kings of Israel ever wash anybody's feet. But we see the King of Kings wash feet. And Jesus, as a matter of fact, said, going back to what we read earlier in Mark chapter 10, that this is why he came, not to be served, but to serve. And he said it to them that I have set you an example. An example for us to follow, an example for us to be modeled after. And you'll notice here is that what they were experiencing was not what they were thought they were going to experience. I don't think anybody at that table thought Jesus is about to get up and wash our feet. I don't think anybody at that table, knowing who he was, by this point, they understood who Jesus was. By this point, they understood the Son of God is among us. The Messiah is with us. By this point, they recognized his authority and might, and they did not expect him to get up from the table and put a towel on and wash their feet. It challenged everything they thought about who it meant to be the Son of God. But it was proof of what Jesus earlier said. Is that to serve is to do what Jesus said. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. We have been commissioned to serve, and Jesus gave us an example of what it means to serve. There is not a level of authority in the church, nor has there been, nor will there ever be, where humility and service do not go hand in hand. This was a picture of what it meant to be commissioned to serve. That if Jesus was willing to take a towel and wash the feet of his disciples, you and I have also been commissioned to love and serve one another, however that might be. Now, while it's not a cultural practice today to have people come in our home and wash their feet today, there are many other ways that we serve people today in such a manner. And what Jesus is establishing here is a model of service and love. To be humble is to serve. To serve is to be humble. To live like Jesus is to serve. To follow after the example of Jesus is to love people. And you'll notice here that at the table, who was sitting at the table? James, John, Peter, all the others, but there's one name that was mentioned in the very beginning who was also sitting at the table. And his name was Judas. And the Bible says here specifically, the devil had already decided that Jesus would betray Jesus, and Jesus knew this. Mark chapter 14 tells us that when he was sitting at the table, Jesus knowing who would betray him. But what did Jesus do? He served him. Oh, you tell me today I got to serve the person that is going to betray me or that has betrayed me? Listen, this love that we're reading about today, it is not on earth. It is not from earth, I should say. It is from God. But it is the way. If Jesus was willing to love and serve and get on his feet and humble himself on his knees and humble himself before Judas, there is no excuse for anyone, for us in keeping them from being served. They were commissioned to serve all. You must be a servant of all. You must be willing to be, if you want to be first among you, be slave of all. If you want to be great, be a servant. And what Jesus was giving them the picture of what he was willing to do, to get off of his throne, to be born in a manger, to live among the poverty of the earth, to live in the conditions that they were all living in, and to embrace the dirt. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this next point here, is when they encountered Jesus, his humility, what Jesus did is while they were encountering Jesus's humility, Jesus was encountering their dirt. It was not an easy practice to wash people's feet in these times. Of course, they did not have clothes, Adidas, Nike shoes. They didn't have shoes that kept them, socks, all those things that kept them protected from the elements. No, wherever they walked, whatever they stepped in, guess what? It was on their feet. And that's why they washed their feet when they came into houses, because they were dirty. They had been through a lot of dirt. They had gone through filth everywhere. And you have to think today, that was not the 21st century. The sanitary practices were not the best. It was truly a humbling practice. And listen, what Jesus did was he gladly did it. He humbled himself to do it. And he embraced their dirt. A lot of times what keeps people from serving others is looking at the dirt. I'm not sure I want to get in that. I'm not sure I want that to bother me. And you'll notice how what often the thinking is how it will affect me instead of how will it affect them. And that's what Jesus was thinking. Jesus was not thinking, I don't know if I should do this. I might get dirty after this. That's not what Jesus was thinking. He was thinking, I want to do it for them. Serving people, can we just all agree, is not easy. Because you don't know what you're going to get. There's dirt. There's problems. There's situations. There's human dilemmas that are happening. There's always these things. We are people and people are messy. That's just the nature of the way it would be. But Jesus did not say, I set you an example so that you may first observe and see whom you will serve. That's not what Jesus did. You must be a servant of all. The thing that preserves our humility in serving is the dirt. It's the dirt of serving that reminds me that I need the grace of God just as much as the grace that I'm extending to my brother or sister or the person I have yet to meet, a stranger, whoever it might be. It's this thought that this dirt is here for a reason, and it reminds me that if Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, who will come back riding on a majestic white horse in all of his splendor, and he's going to come through the clouds of glory, he's sitting at the right hand of God, he's going to be worshiped day and night, etc., etc., all of those things, if he was willing to get down on his feet, knees, and serve people, there is no reason why any of us can't do that. Oftentimes there is this thought that prevails in certain in Christian thinking sometimes that says certain types of service may not be for me. But that's not how Jesus thought. If anyone wants to be great among you, he must be first a servant of all. If this was the case of how service should be delegated according to purpose, to person, then Jesus should have never came to the cross and died for you and I. We didn't deserve that type of service, but yet he did it. And what challenges thinking today in our culture, I've noticed at least more and more, perhaps service was more custom, more customary than it used to be. But I've noticed today that when you stop and you take time and you're willing to serve someone, to love them, to listen to them, to help them, it makes an impact. And it makes an impact because no one else is doing it. It stands out because there are not servants living in our world. Our world is not made up of servants. They're made up of people who want their throne. And everybody's all obsessed about, give me my throne. You got to focus on my throne and bow down and worship my throne. That's the thinking of today. But that's not Jesus' thinking. Jesus' thinking is, leave the throne. Give it up. Abandon it. Put self behind you. Crucify ourselves. And look for another to serve. The thing that I think is interesting about Jesus' thinking towards serving the disciples is we see that and we think, why would he do that? Why would he take time to get down and do something dirty? Why would he embrace their dirt? Why would he put a towel on and do that? But to Jesus, it was an example to set as Lord and teacher, because serving others is not an act to be despised. It's an act to be considered a privilege and an honor. Because if we think like Jesus thinks and we really love people like Jesus loves us, then serving people is a high honor. Then serving people is a joy. Because if Jesus loves them that much and is willing to give his life for them, then serving them is the least we can do. It's a high honor to be commissioned by Jesus, to be sent out to aside and embrace the humility of Jesus, who did not have wonderful experiences and encounters with the presence of Jesus in their lives. And that's what God wants for all of us today, is get rid of this thinking that is pervasive, that comes from Satan himself, who was wanting to be his own throne. The problem started with Satan. He wanted a throne. He wanted to be worshiped. He wanted all the attention to be focused on him. Let me be the worship director of heaven. Let the choir sing for me. But Jesus said, I beheld him like lightning fall. Because listen, in the presence of Jesus, what happens is our hearts bow down. Because when you're in the presence of the one who is really great, there is no other response that you could possibly have but to bow down and to be in honor and adore the one, as we talked last week, in worship. Musicians are going to come. Remember this morning. These earthly thrones are for demanding service. And heavenly thrones are for giving service. You won't find one place in the Bible where someone who did not give up everything, as Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, for Jesus. Peter came to Jesus and he was concerned. He was concerned about their future. He was concerned about what's going to come. You're telling us that you're going to die, you're going to be gone. What's going to happen? And Peter brings up a valid concern, and a concern I've thought about many times, but I love Jesus's answer. Peter said to Jesus, look, we've given up everything. We've left everything and followed you. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 28. You can read with me if you want. And Jesus said, but truly I tell you, there is no one who has left their house, their brothers, their sisters, their mother, their father, or children, or their fields, what Jesus was saying, or their job, for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age. Houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, an eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Listen, this life is not about, as believers especially, is not about trying to obtain some throne and make ourselves great. It's not about trying to make it more established and honorable and jeweled, all the things you want to think about, whatever it comes to mind. The thing that we are striving for is to get to the throne of Jesus that is eternal. And Jesus has promised, and what Jesus has promised is that you will receive a hundredfold now in this age and in the age to come. It's this sense, as we talked last week again, to in worship. It's this, I'm giving the totality of myself to God. And worshiping and serving Jesus is about, I'm giving the totality of myself to God and to others. To be a blessing, to humble myself. And what a difference it would make if we all, the Church of Jesus Christ, just said, and there are some wonderful examples in this congregation, inspire me. What if we all in the greater body of Christ said, you know, instead of me trying to just build what's good for me, I want to be a servant of all, a servant of all. And Jesus promises you, you want to be great among you? Let him be your servant. You want to be first? Be a servant of all. For the Son of Man, he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We all agree today that's the example set for us, Jesus. Will you stand with me this morning? Every eye closed. As the days go on and Jesus is coming soon, the Bible teaches us the wickedness will grow, love of many will grow cold, people will become dull to hearing the word of God, and though the love of many will wax cold, we as believers have been called to never let that love grow dim. Never let our heart for people grow dim. My brother and sister, when you see your brother in need, the Bible says, and there's something that goes off inside of you that feels compelled to help them. 1 John teaches us that means the love of God is in you, and it's a good thing. May we be led by that more and more. May we be directed by however the love of Jesus is moving our heart towards people. If you're watching the news and you see some tragedy happen and your heart begins to break, instead of flipping the channel, just pray, God help them. Instead of shutting down that motive of compassion that's going off in you, act on it. Respond and say, but Jesus, what can I do? As we watch what's happening in the world today in Israel and Gaza, and we think, oh Lord, it's so terrible, what can I do? Lord, I lift them up to you, I pray. That's being a servant. It's a high privilege to be a servant, and one of the ways you can be a servant is by praying. And so can I just encourage you this morning, whenever God's love is compelling you and moving you, don't silence it, be led by it, follow it. You're driving, you see something causes your attention to go and God's, the compassion is roaring inside of you. Say, yes, Lord, what must I do to be a servant of all? Lord, today we surrender ourselves. And Lord Jesus, I thank you first and foremost that you came not to be served, but to serve. You served me. And Lord, I think, why in the world should someone like me be served? No. But Lord, what an example that you set for all of us, the Son of God, willing to leave his throne. And so, Lord, today, may we leave thrones behind. May we leave accolades. May we leave titles. May we leave all of those things behind. And may we pursue being commissioned to serve. Lord, today I pray among us would be love filling us that would disrupt our city. As great motives of compassion move inside of us, let it change our city, Lord. Let it change our world, Lord, as we become servants of all. Lord, we thank you today. May we embrace your humility. Lord, today we pray for a fresh dose of humility. Help us all to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Lord, there's no one great but you, Lord. None who's great but you. So, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Lord, today. My brother or sister, that's you today. just feel God's love compelling you, God's love moving you, maybe dealing with you about serving and loving people around you. Would you just come and stand here at the front with me this morning? We want to give ourselves to Jesus. I want to be humble like Jesus. I want to be a servant like Jesus. Maybe here this morning and you think, Jesus served those disciples and he loved them like that. And you're being caught off guard by that thought that Jesus would be willing to serve you. But I want to encourage you this morning, God loves you so much that he sent his only son off of his throne to love you, to embrace you, to bring you to his home forevermore. Surrender your life to him. Give yourself to him. Lord, this morning we give ourselves to you today. We're all yours, Lord, all yours. We want to be better servants here, Lord. We want to be better servants, Lord Jesus. And they shall know that we are your disciples by how we love one another. Lord, help us to love the Judases of our world. Help us to love the Peters, the James and Johns. Help us, Lord Jesus, when you're calling us to serve, to not be hindered by the dirt of the situation. Let nothing keep us, holding us back, Lord. But Lord, may we give all of ourselves, Lord. All of ourselves, Lord. We give all of ourselves to you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Would you just join me this morning while the band plays? Lord, help me to be a servant. Help me to love people. Help me to have humility in my heart. Where there is pride, dethrone it, Lord. Get rid of it. Overthrow the throne of my heart, Lord. And may you have your place there, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, today. We thank you, Jesus, this morning. We give ourselves to you today. We want to be better servants, Lord. We want to be better servants. As the love of many grows cold, may it not be so of the Church of Jesus Christ. May our love become flaming hot, Lord Jesus. Let love continue to move us to action, Lord. We pray this morning. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. As we sing, can I just encourage you, lift your heart to the Lord. I'm yours, Lord. Whatever you want for me, I'm yours, Lord.